Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John. To the book of 1 John. The title of my message tonight is New Things for a Skeptic. New Things for a Skeptic. You know, sometimes we're all skeptic of situations in our lives. Sometimes we might even be skeptic of faith. And maybe skeptic of things that God has in our lives that we go, really, God? But tonight we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. And in this passage, starting verse 43, this is the calling of Philip and Nathanael. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. The day following that he called Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. And it says, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip with us beside the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Wouldn't you love that to be said of you by Christ? In whom is no guile? Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Boy, would we like to have the world understand who Christ is right now. Verse 50, Jesus answered and saith unto him, because I said unto you, I saw you thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Tonight we're getting acquainted with a little known Bible character. Nathanael doesn't write a gospel. You know, he's at Pentecost. He's around the apostles. But as far as no name recognition, he's little known. He was, in contrast to Peter, James, and John, he was just part of the group. And in that case, he's just like us. You know, we're just part of a group. And he wasn't a standout, but he's still called by God. He could still do great things for God. He still had the power of God. He still had all those things. And folks, we can too. It's the little ones that get God's favor. So what was going on? Jesus here was entering his earthly ministry here, and now he's calling his disciples so he can train. You know what we need to do, folks? We need to go alongside new converts in Christ, and we need to disciple them and show them the ministry and get them involved and get them doing things. So he's gathering his disciples. So here we have the skeptic Nathanael, because he says what? He says, can any good thing come out of what? Out of Nazareth. But he got his life changed. Folks, Christ puts you on a different direction. Christ puts you on a different direction. So tonight I want to once again have 3 points. First of all, in verses 43 through 44, we see a seeking Savior. And verse 43, it says, the day following, Jesus would go forth the Galilee and findeth who? Philip. You know, God's looking. God's looking for souls. God's looking for people to follow him. God's looking for servants. God's looking for those that would just do his will. And saith unto him, follow me. And this call is the same that he did for Peter and James and John and Andrew. And it's the same call that we all experience. In Matthew 9, verse 9, we see that the call is the same. Now he's dealing with a publican, Matthew or Levi. And he says this, and he says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the receipt of custom. People who wouldn't really associate, you would associate with. It says, and he said unto him, what? Follow me. See, that is God's message. And it doesn't change. The call to follow God is exactly the same. And he arose and followed him. And when Christ found Philip and followed him, he asked for the same commitment. The commitment that to follow Christ is the same also. Matthew chapter 16 verse 24 says, then saith Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and what? Follow me. There's an action, just like this morning. You have to have faith mixed with knowledge in order for God to work in your life. Just having knowledge is not going to... Just say, okay, God, you say call, you follow me? Yeah, I'll get to it. No. What did Christ say? He said, any of you that's been called but putting their hand to the plow and looking back is what? Not fit for the kingdom of God. So in this call of Philip, which is the exact same thing as he's going to do for all the other disciples, the call is the same. The call is the same for us. The commitment that Christ wants is exactly the same. He wants us to leave what we're trusting in and trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And then he wants us to follow Christ the entire life. The conclusion is the same on the call of God. In John chapter 21 verse 19, there's this discussion between Peter and Christ. And Christ is saying, Peter, do you love me? And he says, you know, I love you. And then we get into that. And then he tells Peter, he says, when you get old, there's going to be people who are going to take you to a place that you don't want to go. Because Peter's already said a couple of times, he says, I'll be willing to die for you. And Christ says, yes, you will do that. You will do that. And in verse 19 here of John 21, he says, then spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, what? Follow me. See, the call, the initial call to follow God is the exact same call that we have today. And it's the exact same call that we'll have at the end of our life. Why do people stop? Why do people stop? So we see here that Jesus found Philip and said, follow me, because he's a seeking Savior. You know, our Lord is a seeking Savior. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, it says, for the Son of Man is what? Come to save that which was lost. See, there's a bunch of people out there that think they're okay. There's a bunch of people out there that say, I'm okay, I'm good, I'm good. They don't even know the condition that they're in. Until how can they hear except there's what? A preacher. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, our Lord is a seeking Savior. He's like the sower who went forth to sow in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. So he wrote a parable, and a sower went out to sow. And Christ was the sower. In Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 10, he said he's like a shepherd who went seeking a lost sheep. In that story, he asks a question. He says, which of you, if you have 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, you what? You leave the 99 and you go find the one that's lost. And then verse 6 of Luke 15, he says, and when you find him, when he finds him, he comes and he says, rejoice with me because I found that which was lost. And he says, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that what? Repents. That repents and comes to him. So see, he's a seeking Savior because he's come to save and seek and to save that which was lost. In Luke chapter 15, later on in verses 11 through 32, we see the story of the prodigal son. And it's a picture of Christ, and it's a picture of one running away, the prodigal running away and taking his inheritance and taking all the stuff that his father had given him and wasting it and then coming back and being restored. See, God wants to restore us. And You know, what did he say? When the son came to his senses and found himself in the pig pen, and said, "Hey, this is not a good place to be." He said, "I'll go back and I'll be a father, my servant to my father." But then as he came back, his father saw him and what? Ran to him. See, we have a seeking Savior because our Lord came to save that which was lost. You know, the reality of it is, this issue of seeking for lost souls, I am really, really emphasizing this, folks. If we want our families to go to heaven, they've got to be saved. If we want our church to grow, we got to bring people in. We sing the song, "Bring them in. Bring them in. Rescue the perishing." But are we doing that? See, a lot of churches today have made Christ a therapist instead of a Savior. Some others think that they made, and if you watched over the last couple of weeks, made Christ a politician instead of Savior, even a church in this city. Folks, he's the Savior.
Amen.
He's seeking. He's not a therapist, although he can give you therapy. But that's not his main point. You know, we've made Christ a solution for success. Aha! Rather than the Savior for the lost. We've made Christ just a master motivator. Come to church and feel good and leave and say, "Wasn't that great?" And then we go back to the way we were. Folks, we need faith.
Amen.
We have a seeking Savior here. And what we need to do as a church, and folks, this church is here for one purpose, to spread the gospel.
Amen.
And we need to return to that. And if that's not your purpose in your Christian walk, why not? That's what Christ told his disciples to do. So we see in verses 43 through 44 that he's a seeking Savior because he goes and he finds Philip. Now, secondly, we see that Philip is a seeking saved one. You know, what we should do as Christians is we should do what Christ does. We should have the emphasis. So in verses 45 through 46, what did Philip do? He went and he found Nathanael and said unto him, he says, "We found him. We found him of whom Moses and the law and of the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." See, Philip findeth Nathanael. Who have you found for God? Have you asked? Are you seeking? See, Philip had an immediate interest in souls. You know, following Christ calls for reaching lost ones. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is the what? A tree of life. A tree that gives life." It says, "And he that winneth souls is wise." See, if you went out and you found a great deal someplace, you would go and tell everybody about that. I'm going to pick on my wife a little bit. Yeah. She's into these bags now. Okay? She has a friend who has a lot of them. And he says, "Look at these. Look at these." And my wife has now bought some of these. And she goes to other people. She says, "Look at these." When we find a great deal in a store, we say, "Hey, go to the store and look at this." Folks, we got the greatest gift ever.
Amen.
We have salvation. And do we go when we find our lost friends and say, "Look at this. Look at what God's done for me." See, See, we will advertise for worldly things, but do we advertise for spiritual things? See, evangelism is the evidence that our salvation is real. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Right. Folks, we don't want to be an embarrassment to God. Right. We need to do what God tells us to do. And all we have to do is say, this is what God has done for me. We know we need to kind of look into Paul's life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, we went through that book. And Paul had this attitude. You know, he called himself the chiefest of sinners. He said, I'm worse. I don't deserve what God has given me. You know, none of us deserve what God has given us. None of us deserve His mercy. None of us deserves His grace. But I'll tell you that, after that, and after he got his sight back, and after he met Ananias, after he started following God, going in the desert, going to Jerusalem, going everywhere under the sun, he became a very, very prolific witness. And his mindset was this. And it'd be awesome. This morning we talked about Philippians 4:9. Said, those things that you've heard me learn and seen in me do. Look at Paul here. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. We really need to get a taste for a lost and dying world. We really need to get a vision that people are going to hell. Just like that. And what are we doing about it as a church? What are we doing about it as individuals? He says, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I what? Preach not the gospel. Oh, to have the zeal to share God's word. That's what God wants us to do. The first thing that we see in this account here is as soon as Jesus finds Philip, Philip goes to Nathanael. And we need to understand that new converts often win more souls than older believers in the churches. But it's still everybody's responsibility. It's still everybody's responsibility. He following Jesus results in bringing others to Him. Christ says, if I be lifted up, I'll what? Draw all men to me. Do we have faith that's perceived by others? Do we have faith that Christ is glorified in? And they want to follow that? Now, Philip was mistaken in his witness, but he still was effective. Go and look in the scripture here, and what does it say here? He says this. Philip goes and he finds Nathanael in verse 45, and he says this. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, true, and the prophets did write, true. Jesus the Nazareth, true. The son of Joseph. Well, no, he's the son of God. Joseph was not Jesus' daddy. He was the one that was going to raise him through childhood until he got to the ministry years. But the issue is that Philip did something about it. And a lot of people say, well, what happens if I make a mistake? What happens if I mess up? And that's something that we could all learn from here. You know, I will be first to say, I will mess up here. And I make mistakes up here. Misquote scriptures and everything else. But you know something? The issue is this. Why are we doing it? God's here. The Holy Spirit will fix this. And the issue is that if you say nothing, nothing will happen.
Right. There it is.
And so, Philip's mistake he was mistaken, but he still was an effective witness because he got Nathanael's attention. And what we need to do is we need to get our attention. Philip bringing Nathanael to Jesus is a good example of for us all. It's a good example for us all. So what happens? What happens here? So Philip comes to Nathanael, says, "Hey, we found him. The one talked about in the law. The one the prophets talked about. Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael's answer was one of skepticism. What did he say? He says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" See, we got to get rid of our preconceptions of what God is and what church is and go back to what the Bible says it is. You know, skepticism is often the first thing you get when you witness to somebody. But Philip had the right answer. Look at verse 46. Again, Philip saith to him, "Okay, come and see. Come and see." You know, an ounce of testimony is worth more than a pound of argument. And sometimes we try to reason things out. No, just come and see. Just come to church. Just read the tract. Let's just talk about this for a second. But if we don't do anything, nothing will happen. See, we all have a testimony. Philip had a testimony. He met Christ and said, "This is the one." So much as his faith was that he left what he was doing and started following God. That's what we should be doing too. So we see here that Nathanael started out as being skeptical. But Philip said, "Come and see." And then Nathanael was surprised. In verse 48, we see Jesus saw, in verse 47, it says, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me?" See, David said, "Before I was even fashioned in my mother's womb, God knew me." Here in his love, not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us. God knows us before we even existed. God knew us before creation even began. He knew we would be here tonight. And he was surprised. He was surprised by what Christ knew about him. The woman at the well, she was surprised about what Christ knew about her. Even her deep secret. See, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the what? The heart. And so Nathanael was surprised, and that surprise, that's being surprised, left him being satisfied. Left him being satisfied. In verse 49, well, it says, verse 48, let's read the rest of that again. It says, "Then said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before thou that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." What? What? You saw me on a fig tree? There's about to be something special about you. There must be something special about Nathanael that Christ would do that. There must be something special about all of us.
Yeah, come on.
That God would do that for us. The call is the same. The commitment is the same. The conclusion is the same. And so Nathanael was satisfied here. Verse 49, he goes on and he says this. You know, he didn't have to reason it out. Didn't have to go home and study it. You know, how many times that, you know, somebody says something, "Well, let me go home and I'll pray about it. I'll think about it for a while." That wasn't Nathaniel here. And folks, when you meet God, God changes you. He changes you. Nathaniel answered and said unto him, first of all, recognized that he was teaching God, because he called him rabbi. He says, you're not the son of Joseph. You're the son of God. You're not just the son of God. You're the king of Israel. Verse 50, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Something changed Nathanael's mind that day. Every one of us that knows God as Christ as our Savior came to a point in our lives where we realized that Christ was who He was, and something changed that day. And from that point, we don't go back. We follow Him. And so, Nathanael was satisfied. You know, a couple of weeks in the message, we were talking about the crowd and said, we would see a sign from you, Jesus. Prove yourself to me. No, what we need to do is just follow Him. Just follow Him. Come and see. Put away your prejudices and just come to God on God's terms, where He is. He's looking for you. He's seeking you. See, Nathanael's future. Look at this. In verse 50, the last part of it says, thou shalt see what? Greater things than these. Oh, what does Nathanael see? He sees demons cast out. What does he see? He sees the blind receiving their sight. He sees the lepers being cleansed. He sees the dumb speak. He sees the deaf hear. He sees large crowds following Christ. He sees Him taking the place for man's sin as He's arrested in the garden and He's running away. And then verse 51, it goes, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open. Amen. Look at this. This is a promise for us. We follow God, we'll see heaven open. We'll see all the things that God's got for it. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. See, Nathanael's future is just the same as ours. It's heaven. It's heaven. The neat thing was, he got to walk with God physically. But you know something? We can walk with God right now in the Spirit. So, are we still skeptical? Are we still skeptical about what God can do in our lives? Have faith to be healed. Go beyond yourself and say, I don't need to reason this out. I just need to come and see. Come to God tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask for a time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And Father, help us, Lord, just not be skeptics, but Father, just be true followers of you. Let your Holy Spirit reign tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.